we're officially live on Facebook for the Thursday edition of the Not Your Average Investor Show, the JWB Roger Liquor Property of the Week.
Week.
I'm your host, Pablo Gonzalez, and with me, from a distance, for the last time in a long time, the man I affectionately like to call GC, because of his genius concepts, because he knows how to generate cash flows, because he's a great co-host, and because his name is Greg Cohen. Say hello, Greg.
Hello, everybody.
Great. And our superstar community manager, the one that is making everything easy behind the scenes, in the chat, giving you whatever you need. That's why we call her Magnificent, Madison the Magnificent. Say hello, Madison.
Hello, everybody.
And we want to welcome the community. I see everybody rolling in, checking in on the chat. If you are listening on the podcast, walking your dog, I don't know, maybe going for a drive, you're watching on YouTube, I don't know, just cooking some dinner and watching it on the TV. The best thing to do is go to nyais.com, register for a future show so you can be part of the good times that happens here in the chat, the community that we built, all the intelligent people. You might get a nickname if you're good enough, and you'll be part of the roll call. Y'all ready for the roll call?
I'm ready. I don't know about Madison. Are you ready, Madison?
I've been ready.
She was
roll call. Madison's ready because she's already checking in on the chat saying, welcome to the Not Your Average Investor Show. We got the ringmaster, Drew Barnhill, jumping ahead in line here saying good afternoon. And our leadoff hitter, John Henning, with his good afternoon all. We got Lee Bishop, the MVP of the Not Your Average Investor Show community, saying good afternoon. Everyone, glad to see you here. We got Leo Farrakhanan.
Dun, 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 dun.
Farrakhanan.
Dun, 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 dun.
Leo, it's great to have you back. I know he was back in his in the homeland of the Philippines, so he hasn't been able to be with us, but happy to have you back in California and rocking as you always do. We got a regular Rosalind Riley who checked in on Facebook this week, but you know, wasn't able to make the show. We're glad to have you back, Rosalind.
And so did Leo, by the way. He checked in on Facebook. So for anybody who's watching on Facebook now, we appreciate you being here. Sorry if we don't give you the love that you deserve always. You should be here in the Zoom meeting, though. That's the way to do it.
Just got to get behind the velvet rope into the cool club. Come and join us. Like Lewis Hudnell, who's checking in saying, been away for a while, but happy to be back from Milipinas. It's Milipinas. I know.
That's right.
I know there's no extra I. But I'm just going to continue with the Milipitas. We got the patriarch and the matriarch of the first family of the Not Your Average Investor Show, Ken and Carolyn Maline. We salute you.
Welcome back.
The man that everybody knows. Noah Rondari. He says, hello, everyone. Another great day. Greetings from California. Who else we got? We got Aaron O'Neill. Aaron O'Neill.
From the dark and into the light.
From the dark and into the lights. Aaron O'Neill. Glad to have you checking in on the regular now. And Nadeem Shah. Longtime regular, stalwart of the community with his trademark. Hello, JWB. Good morning. Good afternoon from the West Coast. We got the fam in the house and everybody is dying for the favorite segment of the week. Madison shares good news.
All right, everybody. So good news. I'm super excited about it. It is that time of the quarter again for our client only call. So all of you clients, buckle down because it's coming, and it is coming Monday, 8:15 at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. It is on a Monday. I think the client only shows are some of my favorite, honestly.
What are you most excited about this one?
The talking points, yeah. And I'm going to give you all a little teaser about what we're going to be talking about. We are going to be talking about how home prices actually perform in a recession. A great talking point, honestly, that I'm really interested in. We're going to be talking about the key performing indicators of JWB, how us as a company are performing, which is super cool because I don't always get to see different departments and how they perform. So super enlightening for me. And Greg has a little insight on a super cool incentive that JWB is going to be offering. And that's all I'm giving you on that.
Mm-hmm. You are an expert at teasing the real deal coming on Monday, next Monday there for the client only call.
If you have not registered yet and you have not found the link, please let me know and I can register you for you. Just let me know in the chat, email me at madison@jwbcompanies, whatever's easier for you. We will get you registered and on that show for Monday.
I love the client only call and I like the eyebrow action when she said the teaser right there. I'm super in on that. We had a couple more folks check in. I'm just going to call it out because I haven't seen them in a while. We got Marilyn Cotterman back from Homosassa, Florida.
Home of the manatees.
And we got Sergio Prieto.
My gator boy right there.
Oh, gator. Sergio Prieto is back. We got Joanna Batista checking in from the Philippines. Good to have everybody in the house. And before we get started, I believe that I hear the papers crinkling because there's a breaking news.
There is breaking news. I like that intro. I like the little pizzazz that you threw there at the end there, Pablo. Pablo, all right, talk to me a little bit. What are gas prices doing right now?
I drive a Honda Fit. It's extremely fuel efficient. So it's gone right from like $15 to fill up my tank to like $18 to fill up my tank, and it's killing me.
Well, have you you have a Fit, so you haven't filled up your gas tank in probably like 6 months. But for everybody else who drives a gas guzzler, you've probably seen some relief at the pump. Actually, gas prices are down like, you know, a bunch of weeks in a row now. And gas prices are just kind of like a really telltale sign for, really inflation overall. It's such a big part of the overall inflationary metric, the consumer price index. And so really cool to see gas prices come down. That's really good for the economy here. Not surprising that we're starting to see some relief from the consumer price index, which is what the government measures inflation by. So for anybody who was paying attention, yesterday, the most recent CPI came out and it dropped. It was at 9.1% for the year-over-year inflation metric from a month earlier. Now it dropped to 8.5%. As Americans, we should all be happy when that number comes down. As real estate investors, as rental property owners, you win either way because this is a wonderful hedge against inflation. But overall, we need to see the bigger picture. This is a really good thing for our economy. I will say that this is 1 month of data. It came in a little bit better than generally what the economists were expecting. So that is to be celebrated because this is good for our country. We have a long way to go into getting inflation down to more normal levels. The Fed's mandate is to get it closer to 2%. And it's gonna take significant work to do that. But that's some very positive things. Now, why does this matter for you as a rental property investor? When things are a little bit better than expected, what the Fed does is it doesn't have to jack up short-term interest rates as much as it would have to otherwise. And when the Fed jacks up short-term interest rates, indirectly what that does is that raises your long-term mortgage rate. So that's what we all mostly care about here as rental property investors, those long-term 30-year rates that we get on our rental properties. So, you know, as you're paying attention to the CPI, to the consumer price index, as you're paying attention to inflation, whenever we can get a little bit better news, what that most likely will mean is that we might get a little bit better news on our interest rates for our 30-year mortgages somewhere down the line. And believe me, it is not a direct correlation. There's a lot of reasons that, and a lot of things that go into that. That's why I need to pay attention to the show every single week. But here's the really good news. We've been talking about a little relief on the interest rates for our 30-year mortgages here that all of our clients are using to buy their rental properties. We have some. And so the really good news is that in your evaluations for those clients who are purchasing JWB properties now, you used to see a 6.38% expected interest rate on your evaluations. That has dropped. It is now 6%. Almost a half a point drop, right? That is a big drop in interest rates. And so that's a great thing because that's going to increase your positive cash flow. That is going to make all five profit centers that much better. And so we don't know what's going to happen with interest rates going forward. We're going to appreciate this little bit of a drop right now. We all hope it continues. But right now, these interest rates are lower than they've been probably in the last, 2 months. They had really spiked, a couple of months ago. So a lot to be excited about there, especially for those clients who are buying right now, going under contract. You're able to lock in a lower interest rate than even what you probably had on the evaluation when you purchased that property.
That sounds like real good news. That sounds like a great kind of like in the walking in with a little bit of house money. Lee is putting in the chat that he had heard a little bit different. He heard that it's the Fed raised three quarters again. It's going to be like 7% next month. And then Drew puts in here that mortgages don't track the Fed rate. They more track the 10-year Treasury bond, which peaked in mid-June. You want to illuminate that a little bit?
Yeah. So I think some of that information may be a little bit older. Because when we just had the most recent Fed hike, they actually did raise it 0.75 point. And that is a huge raise. They actually did it for 2 consecutive Fed meetings to raise it 0.75 point. So that's the last 2 meetings. Going into the CPI and the labor report this year, this month, the Fed was like, yo, I don't really want to raise interest rates another 0.75 point again, but we may have to if inflation continues to be this far out of, you know, so far away from what we want it to be. So now this news of inflation and the CPI being at 8.5% is what the Fed is taking into account to figure out what are they going to make that next hike. And, you know, prior to this news, 0.75% or 0.75 point for an interest rate hike was very likely. Now you're starting to see it still may be 0.75 point. You're starting to see some economists say about 0.5 point. So there's a little bit of maybe not as aggressive as the Fed needs to go. And whenever that happens, that is a good thing.
That certainly sounds like a good thing, man. What do you know, any inkling on, so gas prices go down for right now, that might still go back up, like, right, there's it's still uncertain, right? Like this isn't like a downward trend. This is a momentary pause. Rates could go back up. There's a chance that they go back down. What do you think about that?
Yes, absolutely. We should not read too much into this, that we have beaten inflation, that will continue to go down. Nobody knows that. I think there is significant risk that interest rates will be higher later in this year. They also could be the same. They could be even be lower. You know, I've done a lot of research on it, talked to a lot of smart people out there, and you see those opinions all over the board. So what we know now is that interest rates are lower today than they were a little while ago. And you have even more positive cash flow today than you did, you know, a month ago on these property evaluations. Your 5 profit centers are better now. And so if you're thinking about acquiring a property, you've gotten a little bit of a boost here just because of how the country is responding to the serious rate hikes that the Fed has put in place over the last few months. And you should take advantage of it, again, because we do still see home prices going up. So I think this is something that will be monitored a lot on our show. So keep tuning cool. in. We'll keep you posted.
I'm glad you clarified there, right? Because it's like if you were looking at a property 2 weeks ago, chances are that eval right now, it looks a little bit better. It isn't for sure that the rate hike is going to go back up or not or go back down, but it still looks better right now. But what is for sure is that pricing is going back up. So it's just like one of those things where it's like if you were close a week ago, if you were like thinking about it over the last like 2 months, right now is a good moment to be like, all right, yeah, let's go, right? Like that's kind of what I'm hearing, because of not the uncertainty of whether the rate's going to go back up or not. As much as it definitely just went down, and price is definitely going to go back up.
Yeah,
price is going to continue to go up.
If you look, so what I'm looking at for prices over the last month to the most recent month, prices actually went up at a faster rate than they did from that same time span a year ago. It was 3.7% to 3.8%. Prices went over month over month. Now, I'm not going to say that prices are going to continue to outpace the gains that were made a year ago as far as pricing. You know, pricing is something that, you know, we're going to be obviously taking a look at. Right now, inventory levels are so low. And so that would indicate still that you're going to see higher than normal home prices. So, you know, the pricing conversation is one that we need to be monitoring. The interest rate thing, we know right now it's lower than what we expected it to be a month ago. So that's a real value to do it. And then also consider, where are you putting your money right now, right? If your money's in the stock market, right, the S&P is down like 20%, you know, for the year, right? That's not a good thing. It actually just spiked on this positive news coming from the consumer price index, but you're still down close to 20% for the year. And it's going to be rocky. Like there's going to be some swings, some ups, some downs. It's a very volatile time in the stock market. Bonds still are not paying you what you really need to earn to beat inflation for sure, and to get to your passive income goals quickly. You know, crypto, nobody's even talking about crypto anymore.
Right.
Gold really hasn't performed that well this year. So like, where else are you going to go to put your money right now where you have a consistent asset that is going to earn 11% or 12% on your money every single year? That's easy to invest in. I don't see much else out there. So for all those reasons, that's why I think this is a great time to invest.
Cool. And we got Lee Bishop chiming in. He's saying that he was told by buy and hold investor that buy and hold investors are going to be really taking advantage of this very soon, which is more opportunity for him now that he's moving into being a money, you know, a money broker for real estate investors, and more renters are looking for places to live. And then Drew Ringmaster, he's saying the T-bond market is forward looking and the market is trading on lower rates because they're expecting these huge rate hikes to destroy demand and slow the economy.
Yeah, it's interesting. You've got it's just an interesting time to be an investor. The rules that used to like guide people to like where they should put their money, they're all over the place, right? You got stock prices going up and bond prices going up after news like this. Usually you're doing one or the other. So it's an interesting time. I prefer not to have to understand and like play that game. I prefer to put my money in something that I understand, like creating a house for somebody and having them live in it and having them pay rent. And then I don't have to check the stock ticker every single day. And I love looking at the financial news because that's how I am. And I like talking about it with you guys. But if my money was in the stock market all day, every day, and I was seeing 20% down this year and then, 15% up and whatever, like, man, that would just take away time that I could spend with my wife and my kids and, building JWB and like doing the things that I like. So I prefer the slow and steady things that I understand. That's why I love rental properties.
Yeah. And our in-house crypto expert, Leo Faraganan, is reporting here. Faraganan. All right. It's reporting here. Crypto still in the toilet. Bitcoin and Ethereum came back up from last month, but overall still sucks. And our resident multilingual community member, Bill Shields, says, Buenas tardes, amigos. Bill Shields, you are right on time for us to head to the property of the week as I magically whisk us away here to 1243 Dinard Street, Jacksonville, Florida, 32205. It is a lovely little picture here. It looks like a rehab, and it's got an estimated ROI of 12.05%, a purchase price of $215,000, monthly rent of $1,498, four bedroom, two bathroom, 1,535 square foot, annual vacancy rate of 4%, annual maintenance rate of 7.5%, and annual appreciation rate of 4.6%. And you can download this sheet in the chat or go to jwbinventory.com. But before you do that, I want to know from GC, what do you love about this property?
Well, you know how Madison teased why the client only call is going to be awesome. And I went along with it and I was like, yeah, I'm going to make sure I make you guys wait until we talk about this incentive until it's going to be on the client only call. I was just messing around. You know that I bring all the stuff that I can to you guys ahead of time for all of you who show up here on the call, right? Even the folks who are on the podcast right now, by the time this comes onto the podcast, it's going to be too late, but we're going to talk about this incentive that JWB is doing for clients, because I know interest rates have spiked at the highest spike in the shortest amount of time that I can remember. And it might be of all time, right? It has been a large spike, 2.5 percentage points from where we were not that long ago, just a few months ago. And I know it's on the minds of a lot of our clients. So for JWB, we said, well, let's do something about it. Let's make it a little bit easier for our clients to get to those passive income goals. And so what you see at the bottom of this property of the week little slide here is JWB offering an incentive, which happens like next to never. But I thought this was a good time to do it. So JWB, in addition to that interest rate being lower on the evaluation and dropping to 6% on your evaluation, JWB is also going to help you and buy down your interest rate. That means that we're going to pay so that your interest rate is not 6%. So it's a little bit lower. It depends on your criteria. But by doing this, this should, again, lower that interest rate between an eighth to an additional quarter of a point for all of those clients that take advantage of this. And you guys are the first to find out about it, which is really cool. You do have to put that property under contract and close on it by October 15th. With any great incentive, you would imagine there's a timeline and a deadline to do it. And so if you're thinking about taking advantage of this and you're working backwards, this is something you need to put under contract. very soon, because it does take 30 to 60 days to be able to get all of your documentation in and to be able to close on that property. You're at the whim of the bank many times, and you're at the whim of preparing your documents. So this is something that's really time sensitive. And if you want to take advantage of it, you're going to need to put that property under contract in the immediate future, like today, over the next week, somewhere around there. And then you can make sure you get to that landing spot of the 15th of October and get that incentive without stress.
Not a lot of incentives since I've been around, JWB. So pretty exciting stuff. Do you see? Well, is that only for this property, or is that for all properties?
Well, that's for all properties, of course. That is not the reason.
Tell me what you love about this property, bro.
Well, I love that about this property plus all properties. Let me get a little bit more specific on why that I love this property on Danan. You know, Pablo and I have talked about the value of buyer credits. You know, you guys know Pablo's my boy, and we talk all the time, and we run Tuesdays and Thursdays, and he shared his plan with me. We've built his buying plan together. So when Pablo lets me know that there's a time that he wants to be able to make that next purchase, it's in his buying plan, and I'm starting to look, and my team's starting to look for that, the first thing I look for is buyer credits, because they are also very, very rare. A buyer credit allows you to buy this property, and then you're going to have a certain amount of money set aside for things that, for either maintenance costs or for rents as well. And so in this property, you have $7,000, over $7,000 of buyer credits for the client that buys this property, $3,000 in rent credits roughly, and $4,000 in construction credits. And those are just sitting there waiting for you. It's like, it's a credit. So as things happen in your account, it doesn't come out of your pocket. Because as we know, as rental property investors, you know how much I love this asset class, but the reality is that bad things do happen to your properties. You do have to come out of pocket every once in a while to pay for something, but you don't if you have $7,000 just waiting there in a credit. So that's what I love first and foremost about this property here. Did a little bit more research on the resident that's in this home. Oh, I should mention, it's already rented, which again is very rare. You know, normally right now you have to be on a waiting list to buy a property for, you know, our friends out there in this industry. Usually people don't have available inventory, but if they do, it's not rented. This is a home that is already performing day one, all five of those profit centers working for you. And the resident here has been in place since 2017. So they clearly love the home. They then made an additional decision to renew on a two-year lease just in May of this year. So May of 2022, so just a few months ago. So they're in for another 2 years. And the last kicker here is I checked and the rent actually goes up another $39 a month. And that starts in May of 2023. So love a lot of things about this property. And the last thing, look at the purchase price. I mean, it's $215,000. That's really low in today's environment here. You know, your purchase price is generally a lot higher than that. So for those who are on a budget and they want to be able to get into a lower price property, this fits the bill there too.
This is it's a great deal, man. It's a slam dunk. Like I'm looking at, you know, the last property that I bought, which is around this price, also had a buyer credit, but also had a potential turn, right? Like this has like all the ingredients of like baked in, like amazing, you know, front and upside. That's really, really cool. Thomas Vicker says, I have two homes with JWB Property Management. I was emailing with Brandon Thompson this morning. He sent me over the spreadsheet. I would like to get this property under contract for my portfolio. All right, Thomas.
This is great. Tom, I was aware and I was hoping you were going to be on the show, Tom, because I wanted to make sure I recognized you. I know, I don't know if you've actually put it under contract or not yet, but I know Brandon's really excited for you. So I would say, Tom, you know, make sure you connect with Brandon. Let's get this one in your portfolio. And I heard this is the first one for you, Tom. I heard that you're a client of ours on the property management client side. So this will be your first turnkey investment. We're all super excited for it. I hope you get this one in your portfolio.
Love it. And he's saying that he's a physical therapist and had clients just go on lunch. Yes, sir. First turnkey. Thomas, good to have you, man. This is great.
Give Brandon a call.
Very, very cool. All right. We got Tara Padgett. Welcome to the show, Tara. Great to have you again. Is asking, is the $7,000 credit just money JWB is throwing in, or is it in the $215,000 purchase price and financed in the loan, i.e. a seller concession?
Got it. Thank you so much, Tara, for asking. This is not a seller concession. It will not be financed into the loan. This is money that JWB is contributing on your behalf, and it will stay in your property management account with JWB until it's used. And so the reason that we do this is this happens to be a home that when JWB acquired it, it already is rented with a resident that meets our standards. And like I mentioned, they've been in since 2017. They just renewed their lease again. All of that is up to par. And at that point, the only problem with it is that they are paying below market rent. So this is a strategy that JWB has been employing for years now. When we come across this opportunity, we want to make it a win for everybody. And first, we're going to think about the resident. There's a person who's been living in the home since 2017. They have a lease in place. You have to honor the lease. There's no way that we could just jack up the rent to be market rent for this resident. Wouldn't be the right thing to do. And you can't even do it legally anyways. So, but at the same time, unless we can get that market rent for the property, it's not going to deliver the type of return on investment that's going to work for Tom for this property or whoever purchases this property, right? We need that rent to be market rent, or else his expected return on investment won't be 11 or 12%. It'll be a lot less. So the solution to that is that JWB actually covers the difference in the rent amount. So this is under rented currently, right? It was just the way that we, when we purchased this property, it was under rented, and that's okay. But JWB, for Tom or for whoever else purchases this property, we cover that difference for a period of 2 years. And so that's that rent credit, that's that portion, which makes up about half of it. It makes up a little over $3,000 of the $7,000 credit. The other part of it, the roughly $4,000 of it, is every time that we put our name on a home that we're going to sell. Listen, we understand everybody does not live in Jacksonville. In fact, the majority of our clients live very far away. I'm not sure where Tom's from, but you know, maybe he lives in a different part of the country. He's relying on our expertise and our word and our inspections to make sure that this property meets our standards so that it doesn't have long-term maintenance and vacancy costs. Right, it's got to meet the JWB standard for renovations. So we go and we get our eyes on every property before we would, of course, offer it to you all. And so when we do that, sometimes we find things that are not up to the JWB standard because we purchased it from somebody else. Again, very common. When we see that, we go ahead and put that cost in place to make sure that when that cost does come up, we're going to cover that cost for the person who purchases this home. As I mentioned, the home is in great shape. It's great shape. Clearly a resident just renewed for 2 years, but we might see other things that we know are going to be an issue or most likely will be an issue at some point in the future. And we put that money set aside for the client that purchases this home. And that comes out to a little bit over $4,000. So you add both of those up, and that's how you get almost actually a little bit over $7,000 in credits for the client that owns this home.
GC, why don't you explain because what I'm hearing is, no, this is not a seller concession. This is something that JWB is, quote, throwing in based on the parameters that you just said. But what is a seller concession? What is the difference between what you just said and a seller concession?
Yeah, a seller concession, sometimes you'll work with like an owner-occupant on the home. And if you're negotiating with the seller, you might just say, hey, listen, I would like a concession. I would like a price drop. Or I would like, you know, listen, the pool that I'm, you know, that's a part of the home that I'm buying, the pool pump is broken. And if we found that out, so can you give me a seller concession of $1,000 to fix that pool pump or something, you know? And many times you would give that to the seller. You would say, listen, either you fix that before I buy this home, or do you just want to give me a credit or a seller concession so that you could just pay me and then I'll do it? And so it's a normal part of kind of like owner occupant primary residence purchase negotiations. And so that would just be like a price. It's in essence a price decrease to do that. And so that's not what this one is. There's obviously a purpose for the rent credit and the maintenance credit. That would be the difference there.
Sounds like seller concession is a home that isn't really up to snuff to sell, whereas the rent credit, what you guys are talking about, is more of like a advanced real estate investor maneuver, in because you guys know what you're doing and you're like heading, you know, you're like hedging for something that you know will happen to provide a better experience, less so than like this thing isn't good enough to like sell as is. Right? Is that the difference?
Well, I would scale you back just a little bit. I mean, seller concessions happen on a ton of primary residence purchases. It's pretty common. So I wouldn't say that seller concessions necessarily are a sign that the primary residence not up to snuff to sell or anything like that. It's just a normal part of it. You could ask for a seller concession for anything. You know, hey, listen, in the negotiating process, you told me that my interest rate was going to be 4%. And then the market spiked and, you know, now it's 6%. I'd like to give me you to give me a seller concession of $2,000 so I can buy down my interest rate or something like that. So a seller concession can mean any type of incentive given by the seller. It could be, you know, the state of the home. It could be the financing. It could be anything you made up. Hey, listen, I just want a seller concession. Will you give me one? So now I'll tell you what we do on the turnkey space. I don't see any other turnkey providers doing this. And, you know, it's a really cool concept that my team came up with to do this a number of years ago. And it is a triple win. It's a win for the resident. It's a win for the owner. And it's a win for JWB because now we have additional inventory to sell, especially over the last few years as inventory has been really low across the marketplace. This is one strategy that allows us to continue to have inventory to share with clients to help them get to their passive income goal.
Thank you for that clarification, Greg. I did not know that. Hey, all right. Ty Oladipo. First of all, Thomas is checking in. He says he grew up in Jacksonville, but in 2022, his wife and him sold everything and moved into an RV working as traveling physical therapists. They're currently in Kentucky for work. So unfortunately, not West Virginia to complete your 50-state map. Sounds Tom like Thomas pays attention to the show, man.
He's been paying attention, Tom. Super excited for you. That sounds just amazing. Both the work that you're doing and the way that you're doing this, the way you're living your life, the, you know, doing it your own way. That's really, really exciting. We've talked to a few investors actually that have done something similar. I remember we had Michael Album on the on the show not too long ago.
Yep.
Really successful investor. And he did a similar thing where he lived in an RV and he built his real estate investing business and just loved it. So maybe that's a thing, Pablo. Hey, what do you think? We'll just grab the families, me and you, and we'll just jump in an RV and just go and travel around. What do you think?
I thought you'd never ask. yeah, sounds cool, man. That sounds really, really cool. All right. So Ty Oladipo has a question. She asks, will this acquisition work at 20% down or do you recommend 25%?
Well, that's a really great question. I think that's a time when you need to speak with somebody who can help you identify what your goals are and the resources that you have and some other things too, right? What reserves do you have? I can give you the answer, which is if you're in search of the best risk-adjusted return on investment, I can give you that answer. And then I can give you an answer if, you know, maybe funds are tight and you don't have a lot of reserves, or you just want to be a little bit more conservative with your portfolio. If you run the evaluation, and you can go to jwbinventory.com and you can download this evaluation, you can actually change the percentage down to see what the effect will be. If you do that, what you'll see is that if you change it from 25% down to 20%, your overall expectation for your return on investment will go up. It will go up. Your cash flow will go down. Okay. If you go at 20%, that will be the best risk-adjusted return on investment for you from all five profit centers because you have less money in the deal. Your cash flow will go down though. And so you got to be prepared for that. And we have many clients that use 20% down, right? If you're at 25%, that's where your cash flow will be higher than if it was 20% down, but your expected return on investment will actually be lower. And so this goes right into the heart of us being a resource for you, being a financial engineer with you, understanding what your goals are, where you are in your investing plan. I would greatly encourage you to reach out to my team. And we can, if we haven't built that plan for you yet, it's something we offer for all new clients coming on board. And I think that would help us guide you the best.
Sounds good. You see, you know, that makes me think of the idea that this is a renovated property, right? Is there any, you know, there's this annual maintenance rate of 7.5%, right? And, you know, what I hear and what you're saying is essentially the fact that if you think about this idea that your cash flow goes down, but your ROI goes up, it tells me that cash flow isn't the ultimate thing, right? We've talked about this a lot on the show. I know Thomas pays attention. He knows that it's the appreciation is where you're going to win long term based on breaking even or slightly above that on cash flow. Is there any difference in the cash flow of a renovated property versus a new construction property?
Not really. No, which is surprising to people, right? You know, cash flow is a factor of your purchase price, your rent coming in, your maintenance expectation, your vacancy expectation, right? There's a lot of things that go into it. Now, in new construction homes, you generally have a higher purchase price, which works against your cash flow. You generally have a higher rent too, which helps to offset that. You generally have a lower insurance cost, which we all love, but your property taxes are higher because your purchase price is higher. So that kind of offsets it. Then on the maintenance and vacancy side, you see slightly higher maintenance costs for a renovated property than you do for a new construction. So for new construction, that's lower. Again, we like that. And your vacancy costs slightly lower. Not that much though. You put all that together, you compare that with a renovated property, you flip it, right? For a renovated property, your purchase price is generally lower, like you're seeing here on Dinard Street, right? The rents are a little bit lower, but your property taxes are lower because purchase price is lower. Your insurance costs are a little bit higher, and your maintenance and vacancy costs are slightly higher. You put all that together in the wash and it comes out, and your cash flows and your returns on investment for both new construction and renovated homes, very similar. Very similar. You guys should see that as fans of the show, because I put new construction homes and renovated homes up here as properties of the week. And you guys don't see a difference in return on investment. They're all really around 11, 12% or so. And then if you think about long-term value of holding a new construction home versus a renovated home, you guys are not buying and selling the next year. If you were buying and selling the next year, if you were flipping, I could see there being a reason, you know, to invest in a new construction home than a renovated home. But the reality is, for you all to win with all five profit centers, you got to buy and hold for a long time. You got to buy and hold for a 10 to 20 year span to be able to see the max benefit from all five profit centers. When you do that, it doesn't matter if it's a new construction home or a renovated home. All of them, new construction renovations, they all profit basically the same from all five profit centers. They all get principal pay down. They all get tax savings, right? They all have net rental income. They all appreciate. And over a long time period like that, they appreciate. There's no difference between new construction and renovations. So you don't get more appreciation from a new construction home when you're buying and holding and trying to maximize all five profit centers. And of course, they all are a wonderful hedge against inflation. So that's why I have both renovations and new constructions in my portfolio. I have for a long time. I have more renovations than I have new constructions, just because I started in 2006 and we didn't start building new construction until 2011. But I'm agnostic when it comes to new constructions or renovations, and I would advise you all to be as well.
That makes a ton of sense, man. That, you know, like the idea that, number one, I get the five profit centers, right? So like, I understand that, and I've been hosting this show now since it started. So I've been to like all of these, cause I don't golf, big shot there. And, you know, I've seen basically the same rates, same cash flows across whatever, right? Like, and if I think about it holistically, it makes a ton of sense that, yeah, the appreciation is the same. The maintenance rates are normalized. I guess if I was to like really pick at that, if I was to speak emotionally, and I'm asking this because I think it could help, you know, people make good decisions, right? Like if I was thinking about it emotionally, I understand that over 30 years, that annual maintenance rate is 7.5%. But if I was to be afraid of something, is the idea that like in a renovated property, there might be a one-off maintenance ticket that would have to happen at in some snapshot in the first like 2 to 4 years. That could hurt my, you know, the bucket of money that I expected to be putting into it. So like if I was like investing from a solo 401k and I can't commingle funds, or if I only have a certain amount of reserves, is there any truth to that? Or are one-off maintenance expenses, do they ever happen in a renovated home unlike in a new construction home? Or is it just like a plane fell on my roof kind of thing and you wouldn't have been able to see that?
So I think what you're asking me is like, should I expect bigger pops of expenses in the immediate future after I buy the property, if I buy a renovated home versus a new construction home?
And I don't even know if it's expected, but is it like a more likelihood of like a big pop in the short term, first like 4 years on a renovated home versus a new construction home?
We got to understand what renovations mean for JWB, right? This home is 1500 square feet, right? Our normal home, somewhere around there, okay? Renovations, new construction, usually renovations are actually a little bit lower. Call it maybe an average of 1200 square feet. We go in and our average cost that we put into one of these homes, which is a relatively small home, we put $42,000 on average into that home. And the purpose there is to avoid just what you're talking about there. You're right. It might not say the home was built in 2022, but the major mechanicals largely are either brand new or they are just in perfect shape, where we would not expect a big pop from maintenance cost or more of a pop, you know, in the next 2 to 5 years, right? The main reason why you see a difference in maintenance rate versus, you know, on a new construction home, it's slightly lower than 7.5%. It's 4%. And the main reason is just because of a general wear and tear on the home. And that mainly happens during a property turn. So it's not like you see a greater rate of your major mechanicals going out in the immediate short run. It's not like you have this risk hanging over your head of like, well, I know the AC is, you know, 15 years old. It's going to conk out over the next 5 years if I buy it. That's not the JWB standard when it comes to renovations. If that was the standard, you would see a much higher disparity in maintenance rate than what you do in new construction. So, you know, short answer is no. I don't see that as a reason to choose new construction over renovations. But at the end of the day, you're going to see, and our data dictates this, you're going to see a slightly higher rate of maintenance costs for maintenance items, just because not everything in the home is brand new, right? The major mechanicals, the major most costly things are brand new. But, you know, in a new construction home, everything is brand new. That's like the slight difference there. And those things that are not brand new are not the big cost drivers. It's important for us to maintain the JWB standard on renovations and new constructions.
Thanks, man. I think that that might help somebody, right? Because like I think of like the misconceptions around the stuff, like, you know, stuff my wife and I are scared about, right? Like in buying, because I've bought renovated properties, and it's like there hasn't been any kind of like AC replacement. There hasn't been like any kind of like, the envelope is solid, right? Like the roof is solid, the windows are solid, the mechanicals are good to go. And I would imagine that if someone is thinking, do I need to save up more for a higher price and buy a new construction home versus just because I don't want to like have an extra, I don't want to have an extra, you know, extra savings to have to cover something, or do I have enough to get into a home right now? I would imagine that would help somebody get into a home right now if they understand that correctly.
I think so. I mean, I understand, especially for a newer investor looking at a home that is a renovated home, like Denod right here, looking at it versus a brand new construction home. You know, we look at pictures and you can get more excited about a new construction home, but you got to separate where you are living versus the purpose of this investment, right? You got to be objective about this. This is not a home that you're going to live in or rent. You're providing a really quality renting experience for somebody else, right? And so if you can separate that, then you have this ability to make better decisions. Like, for example, if you're somebody who's maybe thinking about new construction and you're looking at Denod and you're saying, oh, you know, maybe I'm going to wait till that new construction home comes out, and you wait 3 months, first of all, you're not going to see a purchase price of $215,000. So the purchase price is going to be a lot lower. But you wait. What you're giving up, probably an interest rate. You know, the interest rates are certainly not going to be as low as they are right now, because JWB is helping you buy down your rate right now through October 15th. I'm not seeing that happening anytime soon again. And so if, you know, look holistically, like about the entire decision, if you can just separate yourself from being the user of this home, you free yourself to make better decisions. And we manage almost $750 million of real estate for people out there, right? I have over 300 rental properties myself. I get to see how all five profit centers work over the long haul for over 2,500 properties that have been purchased with us. And I can tell you, the ones that are renovations and the ones that are new constructions, they do about the same. There's cool. No significant difference. If there was, we would formulate our business differently to make sure that we were highlighting one versus the other. But it's not the case. You know, a new construction home is only going to be new construction the year that you buy it. 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, it's going to be a renovation, right? Yes. So if you can just separate yourself from that, you're going to free yourself to make better decisions.
Love it, man. I think we're going to want to clip this and maybe give it to your sales team, right? Because I feel like this is a conversation that y'all have a lot, right? Like, I think the way that you explained that was really, really good, man. I think that really helps.
That's awesome.
Cool. Awesome. Lee Bishop, MVP of the community. You may have heard of him. He asks, does Greg know what the 4K set aside for maintenance is earmarked for? And I'm going to jump in there. It's not set aside for maintenance. This is a construction construction credit, the 4K, right?
That is right. It's a construction credit. I tried to look a little bit more into it, but I don't have all the details. Lee, if you're interested, just reach out to your portfolio manager. We can get that information for you. If for anybody who's interested, just jump on the phone with our team. We'll be able to get that information for you. We saw something that we think is going to show up on the property turn. So it's not something that is critical right now to fix, but it's something we want to fix on the property turn. That's what I saw when I looked up the information in our system here. And so that's all I got for you, but the team will know a little bit more.
Yeah. So you have to talk to your property manager and maybe arm wrestle Tom Vickers for it if you want this home. All right, cool. We got another question here. Sergio Preto, Go Gators, says, did they convert a garage to an additional room where the driveway ends? If so, I'm assuming that increases purchase and rent price.
Yes. All things are yes there. You see that a lot in neighborhoods like the one on Dinard. And so, you know, really what you need to think about there, what are the other homes on that street? What are the other homes in that neighborhood have? Do they all have, you know, carports or garages? Do they need to have a garage? You want to make sure that your home is kind of fitting with what the requirements of the neighborhood largely are. And if it's off, that's okay too, but then you're going to need to adjust the rent price one way or the other. You know, for this one, this was a carport that was enclosed into a fourth bedroom at some point along the way. And, that's pretty normal.
There you go. I would love that carport to be my content production studio if I lived there, but I'm not. I'm a real estate investor. I'm not going to live in that home. GC, I thought that was a pretty good, not getting a lot more questions here. We got some great participation already. I would love to ask you to tease a little bit about this whole how to rental, you know, the client only call. We already blew the first teaser that there is this like very short-term incentive that y'all never do. You're going to announce that. So you're going to want to be there for that. But this idea of how homes perform in a recession, how rental homes perform in a recession, you want to give us a little teaser about what you're
Yeah, talking? You know, I love this show for so many reasons, but one of the reasons I just get to keep my pulse on the fears and the reasons that clients might be holding back from buying that rental property. And one of the things that I'm hearing in a lot of your questions and a lot of the interaction in our Facebook group and whatnot is, what if home prices go down? What if home prices go down? What if home prices go down? Right. And, you know, this is, you know, my first reaction to that is like, short-term pricing is the least most important part of this decision. So part of me is like, oh, do we really need to go down that path? Because if you really get this asset class, then short-term pricing is the least most important part of this process. I was saying that 2 years ago as home prices were raging. I was saying that 1 year ago as home prices were raging. I said, don't buy it because of short-term pricing. And I'm saying that to you now, even though I know that home prices are not going to be raging right now. Even if home prices would go down, it doesn't change how strong of an asset class this is. So I know that, but I don't think that answer really makes people feel better because people are like, well, what if it goes down? What if it goes down? So we did a lot of research on this. You know, I think we're in a recession now. It depends how you define recession, apparently, but I think we're in a recession now. We've had two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. And so most people in their mind, they say recession, home prices are going to go down. And they also think that because the last recession, home prices went so far down, and I'm not talking about the pandemic little thing there, right? I'm talking about the Great Recession. Home prices went down so far that in their minds, people are saying recession means home prices are going to go down, that I shouldn't buy this rental property. And that's just not true. There's a lot of data that we can look at to show you that that is not real. And so we did a lot of research. I'm excited to share with you. It's the recession myth. The myth that home prices actually go down during recessions, and the data to show you how home prices actually perform in the recessions that we've had over the last 100 years. And so for all of you who are really close to buying, but you're saying, oh man, my uncle, my friend, my colleague at work is trying to tell me I shouldn't buy because there's going to be a market crash. Your first answer is like, if that happens, it doesn't matter. This asset class still wins over the next 10 to 20 years if I put my money in the stock market. But then your next answer, I want to give you a little bit more, you know, data to back it up. Listen, over the last 100 years, here's how recessions and home prices have actually performed. I think you'll get a ton of value from it. So I hope you, for all of you clients, I hope you're registered. If you're not registered yet, please just send a note to Madison right now and we can get you registered. And if you're thinking about this after the fact, if you're watching the replay, reach out to your portfolio manager, check your email. That's how you get registered. It is only for JWB clients. So we're excited to have that opportunity to sit down, speak with you, and really answer your questions that you have.
Love that. Thomas, who's been kind of the star of the show today, puts in here, I've spent the last 3 to 4 weeks learning more about stock market and grade A impressive stock is one that gives a 2.5% yield annually. Only on 100K, that's only $2,500 before taxes. I have no interest in the stock market. Real estate crushes the stock market. Thomas, we'd love to have you as a guest on the show. We want to talk about that as a guest investor. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So just throwing it out there, just communicate with Madison in the chat and she can hook you up. Tara's got one more question here before we get out of here. Tara asks, if JWB is providing an interest rate buy down, does JWB provide financing or would you use any lender?
Great question, Tara. We do provide financing in the form of facilitating the whole process for you. So we have a network of approved lenders who will actually be able to close the loan for you. And so this is going to help you. If you talk to a lot of folks who have bought a rental property or a primary residence, the loan process is the worst part of the whole thing. And sometimes you go through it and the lender can't actually close or things change at the last second, right? Our network of lenders has been approved. We've vetted them for some of them over 10 years and they're still working with our clients, providing high level of service. So we do require that you work with one of our lenders in our network and we facilitate that process for you. We basically act as the quarterback between you and the lender to make sure that, you know, you reach the closing time and that you have a smile on your face.
Speaking of smiles on my faces, man, I am pumped that this call went the way that it did. I think we highlighted on some great stuff that people did not know before this call. Great property. I love that somebody's already buying it, like right off the show. Very, very cool. I'm super pumped to be back in studio for the client only call, for Tuesday's recap of the client only call for shows that aren't, for all those of us that aren't clients, those of you that aren't clients, I'm a client. Not to be exclusionary here, but good stuff, GC, man. I really have appreciated this. I love the community was here in full effect. Great chat, great questions. In this kind of like new version of the POTW with a more simplified look. And I think we still had a great conversation, man. What'd you think?
I agree, man. It seems like some of the cool things that we've been doing with the Not Your Average Investing Insights are really kind of coming into this call. It seems like the quality of the questions, the insights that are coming from the audience, as well as what you and I are able to bring, it just seems like the standard of the show is just kind of taking an elevation, you know, taking an elevated step there. So I'm excited. And when that happens, Pablo and I get even more, I didn't even think it was possible, but Pablo and I get even more excited about the show because you can just feel that there's real community, there's real value here. And, you know, Pablo and I just love what you guys have allowed us to do. So thank you guys. Thanks for making this special.
Indeed. And if you want to be part of that community, you're listening on the podcast and you want to come close, come by the hearth here, warm up by the fire, go to nyais.com. I want to thank all of you that were here today, you know, taking an hour of your day. We never take it for granted. So that's why we get so excited when we get these amazing signals of things doing well. Hope to see you next week. And by then, if you haven't figured it out yet, just don't be average. See ya.
See ya.